All right, everyone, we are back, and I got to tell you, this happens more times than I can even imagine. And people tell me that it has to do with the vibration. You're listening to the Dr. Pat Show. We did not go away for very long. This is talk radio to thrive by, and I'm going to start over because I want you to get the whole thrust of what's happening. Joy Turner is my guest today. We are opening up the phone lines throughout the show, because she has a very, very special gift. She is a renowned communicator, energetic healer. She works with humans and animals. She can communicate with both living and deceased animals and humans. She can help us connect with our animal friends, help us cope right here with illness, with passing, with grief, with loss, with just things that are not going on. I've heard Joy talk to cats. I've heard her talk to dogs. I've heard her talk to people and get everybody together on the same page. This is her gift. Joy Turner is the host of her own show, Talk With Your Animals, and we're going to be taking calls today. So let's start out, Joy, by telling our listeners a little bit about who you are, what you do, and how you connect us people with our animal friends. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I am very honored to be here, and I would be delighted to tell people a little bit about what I do. From birth, I have been able to telepathically and empathically connect with different levels of consciousness, which, of course, is something that I believe everyone is born doing. Most people just get taught out of it, and I had the good graces to not be taught out of it. So from a very early age, I've always known what animals were thinking and saying. I've always understood things about other people that didn't seem to maybe completely jive with what they were saying or what appeared to be so. And I would, once I was an adult, I would do things like walk down a street, someone would stop me and pour out their whole life story to me, and I would say something or I would touch their shoulder and they'd walk away feeling better. So I was actually in my early 30s before I had a gentleman friend who asked me if I was aware of how unusual those kinds of things were, that sort of thing didn't happen to most people. And that's actually when I, believe it or not, became aware of the fact that I was actually hearing things and being aware of things that most people weren't.
What a gift this is. So much so, we've already had a phone of one of our fabulous listeners call in. So I know we've got somebody on the line, Joy. I mean, we might as well get right to it.
Absolutely.
Okay, who do we have joining us right now in the air?
Hi, this is Jeannie.
Hi, this is Jean. Is that what you said?
Yes.
Hey, Jean, let me introduce you to Joy Turner.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, Jean. I'm great. How about yourself?
Doing great.
And who would you want to talk to this evening?
Well, I just lost my cat last month. I had her about 12 years. Her name is Abby. And I have another cat, Skylar, that I've had about 13 years, a male. And do you think he would like another cat with him?
All right. Well, I first have to tell you, shortly after you started to talk, this little girl kitty jumped into my mind. If she were a human, she'd be jumping up and down, waving her arms, going, I'm here, I'm here.
Yes, she would.
She just wanted to say hello and tell you everything is fine. She's fine, and she loves you very much. So she said that was all she wanted to say. She didn't want to take any of Skylar's time.
Okay.
And she does want to thank you and tell you how wonderful, wonderful, wonderful you made her life.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. There's so many animals that need homes. That's why I wondered if Skylar would like another cat around or if he likes being the only cat with two dogs.
Skylar tells me he is missing his friend, and he thinks he's not sure. He says he thinks eventually he'll want another kitty as a friend because it's nice to have someone like yourself to talk to. He said the dogs are fine, but they're not exactly the same. And he's just not sure if that time is right this minute because he's still missing Abby.
Okay. All right. And he's got a stuff that comes out of his eyes, like a reddish stuff. And they told me it was a virus, and he just can you heal that?
Well, what I do with healing is, and it's going to take more time than I would have here over the few minutes for the radio show.
Okay.
I do everything that is a symptom within the physical body is because of a distortion on some energetic level of that being. And when I do healing, what I do is find that place in the energy that has the distortion that allows that physical manifestation.
Okay.
And I work with the soul and the spiritual guides to put that into a greater resonance or a greater alignment with the soul level.
Okay.
And that then allows the energy from that point all the way through to whatever the physical symptom is to clear up, again, based on if the animal or if the human, because I do this with humans too, will receive that change and allow it to be maintained for them.
Okay, well, I'll just listen to the show, and I'll get your number, and I'll do a private session with you, okay?
That would be wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you. You have a nice evening.
Thank you so much. Thanks for calling in.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And, you know, Joy, this is part of your life's work, and let's take a minute right now and give out your website and give out your phone number for people that are listening. There are going to be so many people listening that are not going to get in on the phone lines today. You know, one of the things that I know for sure that happens is, and Don alluded to this before, is these phone lines stay busy. So what I'm going to do is, for those of you that are listening, we're going to do a couple of things right now. Please try to get in on the phone line if you can, 877-876-5227. Toll free, 877-876-5227. And Joy, let's give out your website and some contact information for people.
Absolutely. You can get to my website one of two ways. One is by going to talkwithyouranimals.com. The other, if you don't remember that, is through joyturner.com. They'll both take you to the same site. And if you'd like to call me, I am in Washington State, and that can be, that phone number would be 425-867-1779.
Great. So this is a show for all of you out there that want to connect and really work with Joy live on air, make some connections, and get some questions that you have answered, because I think so many of us, especially when it comes to our animal friends, Joy. I mean, it's about, you know, having our animal friends move on and not really knowing how to heal the grief in that. I know that you get many stories from people that have had to, quote, put their animals down, and the guilt and shame that they have around that really follows them around. What can you say in general about that?
And you're correct. I do get a tremendous number of calls about that sort of thing. And what I have heard from animals fairly much generically, not always in the same words, but always the same concept, they just ask if you've done whatever you've done, whether you think you did something not right or didn't do something that you should have done, they pretty much always ask the same thing, is did you do whatever you did do or did you not do whatever you didn't do out of love for them? And was it the best thing you knew then? And as long as it is, they don't have an issue with it. I even had a caller earlier today on my own show that had a cat that she actually put down because the cat was very difficult to handle. And when it got sick, the vet couldn't treat it, and she couldn't do anything like provide medication or anything to the kitty because she just couldn't be handled. She wouldn't allow herself to be handled. And she had a huge amount of guilt about that. And that kitty herself said she understood how she was. She knew that she wouldn't allow people to do things to her, and she realizes that being put down because she had a grave illness that needed to be treated was just a consequence of the way she chose to behave. And even in that circumstance, there was nothing at all that the kitty held as a negative about what the woman had done.
So this is really about getting clarification about, you know, what's happening and what's happening emotionally for us. And, you know, beyond that, you also work, and I've heard you on your radio show, it's been fabulous, where, you know, there will be people that have difficulty with their pets. As a matter of fact, I was listening to a music radio station the other day out of the Seattle area. It's one of the top music stations. And the hosts on the station were going back and forth about how their Great Dane was chewing up the kitchen. And you could hear it from, you know, one of the owners from their mouth, how unhappy they were. The Great Dane kept chewing the floor. you know, I mean, they went on and on about this Great Dane puppy as if it was the puppy's fault that they're letting the Great Dane run all over their house.
Well, people often don't understand animals, they think they do, but they don't have the same type of an understanding as if you could speak to them and say, what's going on in your mind about this topic, and what do you think we need to do about it? And it's true, many people are very, very lax with their animals. I am certainly not one that is strict with my animal kids. I mean, mine pretty much have anything they want whenever they want it, and they have the run of my place. However, I just got a golden retriever puppy girl about 4 months ago, and until she was trained, when I couldn't watch her, for instance, whenever I was working, I had a playpen for her, and I would put her in the playpen. And so I end up having, when I'm house training, having very little accidents in the house, and I get up a couple of times during the night to take them out, so house training becomes very easy like that. They learn very quickly. And also, it's a matter of attention. Some people don't understand, especially with a big baby like a Great Dane. My goodness, they're huge babies.
Oh, my God. I don't think, you know, baby's probably not the word to use, because they come out not being babies. And I think that's misunderstood, because their temperament is still that of a puppy.
Yes, and they may be as big as most dogs when they're full grown. However, they're still mentally a baby, so they just need a lot more direction and a lot more attention. And I think that that's something that people don't always understand. There's a number of good books that I recommend if people need dog training that I've found, and that it's all very love-based training that I recommend.
Well, you know, Joy, you connect with people on the other side, and you connect with animals on the other side, so you connect with both. In your experience, and I want to make sure that our listeners know that, because we're actually doing readings today with Joy Turner on the Dr. Pat Show, and the number that most of you have it, but let me give it out again. It's a toll-free number right here on bbsradio.com that you can call in at 877-876-5227, 877-876-5227. And we'll pick your call, and Joy will do a reading for you, connecting with... Now, Joy, do you connect people with their animal friends, or do you also do readings connecting humans with humans?
I actually can connect humans with humans as well. I do a lot of that work, as well as connecting humans with their animals, and especially ones who have passed over and there's maybe unfinished business or some kind of resolution that they feel they need. I even do a lot of seminars where I do that sort of thing at the actual seminar. And it's just a very wonderful feeling for most people, because many people I've found actually have very similar unresolved issues with humans as they do with their animal kids when they pass.
Well, you know, certainly it's coming to this place of understanding between ourselves and our animal kids, our animal friends, in terms of how we can create the best life for both parties, actually.
Absolutely.
And, you know, human kindness is important, but also, isn't it important sometimes, as you said, to be able to draw the line and you know, get the proper training, get the proper connection that we have with our animal friends?
Absolutely it is, and I live with four horses as well as my dogs, cats, and my canaries, and even my horses, I don't send those horses out for training either. I've found ways that I've trained them myself, because the connection is really made when you help teach your animal friends things and when you help them understand what you want in your life. We all have some type of expectation of what we would like our life to be like. And a place that I find a lot of people get animals that, for instance, misbehave is when they don't have an idea of what the life is like for the animal in their family, when they just sort of expect to bring an animal in and have it fit in but not have an expectation of what that life is like for the animal instead of from their perspective.
You know, are you ever surprised about what you hear from our animal kids that have passed on?
Am I ever surprised by what I hear from the animal kids? No, often I'm surprised by what I hear from the humans. But then, of course, bear in mind, my whole thing here, my whole work is focused on making sure that I'm sure the humans all understand where they're at in their minds and in their emotions. So my job is to make sure they understand where their animals are, whether they're alive or past, and be sure to be able to accurately provide information from humans who have crossed over, or even from someone's spiritual guides or soul about issues in their life. So really what I do is help them open their level of awareness and have a broader perspective about what I consider the true relationship of us to reality.
Now, I know, Joy, you've worked with me a couple of times, and I was talking with my best friend, Linda, today. And, you know, we were talking about, Travis, who is the collie that I had for 13 years. And, of course, you know, Travis that was, you know, if you listen to the vet, Travis was going to live no more than 5 years, you see. That was, you know, given all of what the veterinarian, what he could tell. But Travis actually lived for 13 years, and for me, I put, I was the one that made the decision that it, you know, this is time, it's time for him to move on. And I have to tell you that I did one of the most, I think, emotional things that I have ever done in my life. And I want to talk about this because this is, you know, this is a question that I get a lot in conversation. And what I'm referring to is we actually had someone come into my home. And, you know, he actually was able to make his transition in my home. I have since said that I would never do that again. That had to be the hardest thing for me to ever do. And so I want to ask you the question, you know, there are ways that we, you know, help make the transition for our animal friends, because a lot of times they are living way beyond the life that they would live if they had to survive on their own, so to speak, you know. I mean, we do incredible things to keep them alive beyond any level of being alive that they even know. So what is your experience? What do you suggest for people? What is it that the animal actually prefers?
I don't like to generalize, but I can tell you the majority of the animals, and I do get a lot of calls from people saying, what do you want to do? What do you want to leave now? Do you want to wait? How do you want to take care of your life?
Mm-hmm.
And the vast, vast majority, and it doesn't matter what species of the animals that I speak to, want to leave from the place that they love and the place where they're comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
They would prefer that to being taken someplace that maybe they don't know or someplace that they're not happy about being, taken out of their place where they know they're loved and out of their familiar surroundings. Almost none of them want to do that. And people have told me it's very difficult to do this at home because it's where they live, and then they always have that kind of emotional trauma associated with their home. And the best thing I know to counsel the people is, even though I can understand that, think about how much you have to love those animal kids to be able to come so far out of your comfort zone because it's what they want.
Mm-hmm.
And don't they do that for us all the time?
All the time. They absolutely do that for us. Now, you know, I want to explain to our listeners that you and I have connected with Travis together on air at different points in time. And you certainly have shared that information. You and I have talked about that, as well as Felicia, the little kitty that, took herself off to die. So there are many ways that we can heal and bring closure. As well as, you know, find out what our animal kids are doing and saying right now, the ones that have not passed on.
Absolutely.
Because sometimes we don't pay enough attention to figure that out ourselves.
True. And I do have a couple of stories about things that have happened over the years, if you'd like me to share them.
I would love for you to share them. And while we're doing this, I want to invite everyone out there, if you want a reading from Joy, this would be the time to do it. The toll-free number is 877-876-5227. 877-876-5227. And Joy will connect you with your animal kids, you know, whether they've moved on or if you have one right there with you right now and kind of wonder why he or she is always turning and facing the television every night. All right, Joy, I'd love to hear some of the stories.
Okay, we have been talking a lot about animals who have passed, and one of the stories that is happened to be with a cat that I worked with was several years ago that I really think is a very excellent example of how things are not always what we think they are. Is I was doing an animal blessing in a town local to myself here in Washington, and from the very back of the church, we were doing this in a church, of course, people were in a line with their animal kids. It was marvelous that all the different species got along wonderfully there. And all the way from the back of the line where this woman and her kitty had started, I kept hearing this cat shouting to me, tell her no, all the whole way up the church, the whole time we were doing everything. And when she got up to me, she kept saying, tell her no. And I told the woman, I have no idea what this is, but I'm supposed to tell you. She's telling you no, don't do whatever it is you're thinking about doing. The woman had brought her cat to the blessing because she was going to take her the next day to have her put down because she was ill.
Mm.
And the cat didn't want to leave. So she did listen to her, and she did not take her to her vet and have her put down. She called me about 8 months later and said she and the kitty had the most wonderful 6 months. The cat seemed to have almost like a rejuvenation happen for her, and it wasn't the same kind of an event that they were experiencing before. She got to be perfectly wonderful for 6 months and actually passed very peacefully in her sleep one evening. So they know these things. You just have to listen.
We do have to listen and feel and really trust what we're listening to, because a lot of times, Joy, I think that, you know, we don't trust what we hear.
Exactly.
And yet the message is right there.
Exactly.
Why is it we don't do that? Is that we're too busy, or we don't think we can communicate, or we just don't want to, we don't really want to hear what they have to say?
You know, I think truly there's very, very few people that would even be interested in communicating that would not want to hear what their animals have to say. I think that, first of all, most people are raised with the concept that that doesn't happen, that you don't hear those kinds of things. That's not normal. It isn't the way it's supposed to be. And so we haven't given ourselves permission to allow that information through to our waking consciousness. And when I do my classes, I always ask people, have you ever all of a sudden, no matter what you've been doing, think, oh, I need to go let somebody out, or oh, I need to go change their water or give them water or something that would indicate out of the clear blue you picked up something that you wouldn't have ordinarily been thinking at that moment? Almost everyone says yes.
Mm-hmm.
And they just think, oh, well, it just popped into my mind. I thought that. And it isn't. It's actually communication from the animals that is coming to our subconscious mind, and all of a sudden the thought pops in, and we think we're having the thought instead of having the thought being provided to us. So the other thing that I think people need to do is realize that this kind of communication is first nature to everybody. It takes place all the time. They're always communicating with us. And then I have a lot of people tell me that they can't meditate, so they can't learn to do this because they can't quiet their mind, which is what people have been told by, I don't know who, but somebody. And I always tell them that that's not necessary. All they need to do is find out what kinds of thoughts you're having, what kinds of emotions you're feeling, and what your body is doing at that moment. And then if something changes after you've asked one of your animals something, you have to, in the beginning, assume that that change is the response from the question that you ask. Because you will, after a while, get to differentiate your thoughts and feelings from theirs, but it takes a little bit of practice to do that.
You know, Joy, I mean, what you do is so powerful. I mean, I've heard you on radio. I've heard your own radio show, and I want to make sure we stop for a minute and give your information out again, send people to your website, and also let them know when you're on air.
Okay, fine. The website can be reached by two ways. You can either go through talkwithyouranimals.com, or you can go through joyturner.com. I do have a show called Talk With Your Animals. It is on 1150 a.m. in the Seattle, Washington area, Wednesdays from 12 to 1. It streams live over the Internet. You can get to that through my website and going to the radio show links page. and it is rebroadcast again over Animal Radio Network, which is also over the computer at animalradio.com, 8 times a week.
Okay, so, but you're going to want to get Joy live so you can really connect and make things happen. And again, we're opening up the phone lines here at 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. Yeah, Joy, I've been meaning to ask you a question, and I want to just, let me preface this by saying that this, I had one of my listeners share a story, and she said to me, she said, my dog knew that there was a pet food crisis before our animal kids started to get sick and die. And I said to her, how did he know? And she said, the food, the brand of food, and I'm not going to mention any names or get into any of that, but the food, I was giving my dog the food, and he refused to eat it for a week. And she said, instead of forcing it, I changed the food. Now, she tells the story to say that had she done something to try to get the dog to eat the food, I don't know if the dog would have ate it, the dog probably wouldn't be here right now. What kinds of stories have you heard or have not heard around that?
I've actually had a number of people tell me very similar things about this food recall, that their animal, dog or cat, whichever it happened to have been at the time, started not wanting to eat. And they would try and try and try and try, and they wouldn't eat the food. So they do have very great awareness of this type of thing because it's a change in energy, it's a change in smell. You've probably all heard different stories about how animals, for instance, can notify their people that they need to go to a doctor because they have cancer, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
I actually recently had a call from a woman who had a dog that used to love the lady's mother. And all of a sudden, she would just growl at her and didn't want to go near her. And the woman couldn't understand it. So when I asked the puppy what was going on, what I was told was that she smells bad. She needs to go get that fixed.
Uh-huh.
And the woman said, oh, no, she'd been just a couple of months before to have a checkup, whatever. And she was fine, and I said, well, your dog's adamant. So the woman actually thought enough of this dog and her perception of things to take her mom back to the doctor, and yes, they did actually find an illness that had they waited until another year, probably would have killed the woman before that.
Well, I mean, so much of this is about really being tuned in and plugged in and really getting connected. And, you know, one of the things I know that you address is, you know, what us humans have to do to act differently. And I wanted to ask you, out of the hundreds and hundreds of people that you've connected with and animal kids that you've connected those people with, what do you find most shows up in terms of human behavior?
Most of the time, it's a very broad, kind of broad stroke thing here, most of the time what I find is that because we only have our own perception,
right,
we don't have a real idea of what they're thinking and feeling. And some people don't want to change that perception, but most of the people that I deal with are very willing to find out how they're looking at something that's inappropriate and what they might do to change. And it's things that are very simple. I can give you a couple of examples if you'd like me to.
I'd love for you to do that.
Okay. I had a lady call me that had a dog that went with her pretty much everywhere except when she and her family went on vacation, and he was a perfect dog except when he was staying with the pet sitter, at which time, literally, he would do everything that he would never have considered doing. He'd run away, he'd pee in the house, he'd chew on things, and she couldn't understand it. So when I spoke with him, his story was that for some unknown reason to him, very regularly, she stopped loving him as much and punished him by sending him to be home while they went off someplace and had fun. And he didn't know what he did. So he was acting out his frustration at not understanding what he had done to create this kind of rift in their relationship. Well, I found out that family went overseas, which meant he would have been quarantined for the 2 or 3 weeks that they were gone twice a year. And so once I explained to him what quarantine was and what that would be like and asked him how he felt about that, of course, he would have hated it. And so I explained to him, rather than not loving him, she loved him so much, she would deprive herself of the joy of his pleasure or the pleasure of his company so that he could be more comfortable and he could be better taken care of. And, of course, she had called me right before the vacation she was about to go on. And when she called me back, she said he'd been perfect for his pet sitter. They just have to understand what's going on. In the same way with, I had a call from a lady with a cat who was not sleeping in the bed anymore with her, who was peeing all over the house, and she couldn't understand it. And after I finally got this cat calmed down enough to actually talk to me, she too was very upset because her plan was that the woman was going to get rid of her. So I asked the lady what had changed that would make her think that, and she said nothing, and finally came up with the fact that, oh, well, yes. About that time, she had started to remodel her house, and she literally took everything out of the house, furniture, carpet, repainted the walls, put everything new in the house.
Oh, my goodness.
And the cat saw that her smell was systematically being removed from the house. Her next logical conclusion was she would be the next thing to go. So we had to do quite a bit of convincing to get this kitty to understand what was going on. But when last I heard, she was actually back again sleeping in the bedroom and rubbing her smell through her chin and her feet on things.
Well, you know, part of this, you know, we think that there's one way to behave with each other as humans, and then there's this whole other way to behave with our animal friends. And I wanted to ask you, is there a line that you draw in the sand, or is this really about energy?
Well, I guess I can only tell you my perspective in the way I deal with the animals that I live with. I see them as my equals. I use a philosophy that I have coined called unilateral equality. I feel that they are just as important as I am. And, yes, I would prefer they didn't pee in the house, but if they pee in the house because I'm not paying enough attention, whose fault is that? Not theirs, of course. And so I don't actually draw lines as most people would consider, but I'm also not so lenient that there are not rules that we all follow.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of that has to do with your intention, again, of what you would like your family to be like.
Mm-hmm.
And the kinds of things that you teach your animal kids, you really need to be able to teach them to behave in ways that are conducive to the environment that they're living in, just like you would any human child. You wouldn't let a human child just go running rampant. You would teach them how to behave in certain ways that would be conducive to your particular living environment. For instance, I live out on 10 acres in the woods. Well, I don't mind if my dogs and cats go out of the dog and kid door and go out and run around on my property as long as they stay within a certain distance from the house. In other words, I don't want them going out on the whole 10 acres because it's a wooded property and I'm backed up to almost 900 acres of watershed, and I certainly want them to stay out of there because there's all kinds of things that live out there. And so I originally walked them around and said, this is what I would like you to do. But I ask them to do these things. I find that people who have told their animals things and said, you have to do this, sometimes they listen, sometimes the animals will say no, and it's because they don't like being dictated to any more than we do. So I'll always ask, I'll say, this would really make me happy if you, for instance, stayed within this area. Here's why I would like you to do it. Could you please do that for me to make me happy? And likewise, if they want something to make them happy, for instance, some evenings I'm tired and I don't feel like taking the dogs for a longer walk, but they ask me if I would because they've been cooped up in the house all day or resting outside all day because I've been working, and they're wanting more activity. So even though I would prefer not, I will go do that for them because it's what they want.
Well, Joy, I mean, most of us that know you, you know, understand the power of what you do and how you open doors so that we can begin communicating. I mean, I listen to your show, and I pretty much, you know, there are some days where I have to keep the tissues next to me because the connections that you make
with people and with our animal friends that have either passed on or are there and don't understand what's happening is really phenomenal. And, you know, part of this is for us to really understand as human beings what it is we have to come to terms with. I want to make sure everyone knows that my guest today on the Dr. Pat Show is Joy Turner. As I said before, she is phenomenal in terms of how she communicates with our animal friends, with whether or not they're still here alive on this planet or they have moved on. She is available right now if you would like to connect right through the toll-free number we use here. If you want to connect with one of your animal friends that has moved on and have unresolved questions or simply want to know how they're doing, 877-876-5227, 877-876-5227, and we will connect you and make it happen. You know, Joy, you know, in your circumstance, in the level by which you communicate with people and the number of calls that you get, is there something that you specifically can say to people to help them get in touch with and better communicate? Is there something that we can do or share with people right now that would help them pay better attention?
Oh, well, that's a really good question. I believe, first of all, the greatest thing to do is remove the expectations about what answers need to be. A lot of times people will call me because they expect that an answer to a certain question should be a certain kind of a thing.
Okay.
And if you have that expectation, it would be very similar to you listening only for a certain answer. And if the answer is different than that, you're not going to hear it.
Okay.
So in the classes that I teach, one of the things that I tell people is I always approach every conversation, no matter if I live with the animal kids and I know them that well or I've never met them before in my life, I always approach it as though I don't have a brain in my head
mm-hmm.
and I have no idea what the answer may be.
I got it. Okay. Well, let's go to the phones, Joy.
Perfect.
Who do we have calling in right now joining us on the air?
Hi, this is Rose.
Hi, Rose. Welcome to the show. Let me introduce you to my guest today, Joy Turner.
Hi, Rose. Who would you like to talk with today?
Joy, I have a question. I have a dog and a cat, and I'd like to know if they're happy or if they have anything maybe they want to tell me.
Okay, can you tell me their names, please?
Yes. Our dog is, her name is Wookie.
Would you spell that one?
W-O-O-K-I-E.
Okay.
And the cat is called Runt, R-U-N-T.
And
they're both female.
Both females. Okay, perfect. Okay. They're kind of looking at each other in my head saying, you want to know if we're happy? That's the question? Rose?
Yes, I guess.
Okay.
Unless they have a complaint.
they say, well, no, they think that everything is very good for them. Do you think things aren't good for you?
I'm sorry?
They want to know if you think, they think things are good for them. Do you think things are not good according to you? In other words, do you have issues regarding them or around them? Is that making sense?
Can they tell me what they think the issues are?
No, they don't think there's issues. They don't have any issues.
So they get along with each other? They like each other? The cat and the dog?
They said, okay, they'll say that. Now, what that's going to tell me is they want you to know that things are not always like they appear on the outside. And they're telling me, I know this because I've talked to a lot of animals that would say the same thing. So they want to know why you're asking this.
I guess validation that they're happy.
Mm.
They said they think they're very happy and very contented with their life. They think that their family is fine just the way it is. They don't, either one of them, expect that anybody's going anyplace. And the reason they ask you if you thought everything was okay, and this is kind of a common thing that I find with many animals, they're going along fine and happy, and they think everything's great in their life, and all of a sudden we ask them if everything's great in their life, and they wonder why we're asking. Do we see something that isn't great that they're not aware of? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Which is what your kids were asking you. Do you see something that you think isn't okay that they're not aware of? Does that make sense?
No, maybe because I think maybe the cat sometimes meows a lot. She'll be upstairs meowing a lot, and I'm wondering if she's complaining about something.
Oh, there we go.
Okay, she says, no, she doesn't think she complains. She thinks she just talks. She says, honestly, the truth is that she thinks her voice is very melodic.
I'm sorry, the what?
Her voice is very melodic.
Uh-huh.
And she likes her voice.
Okay.
So she doesn't see that as being an issue.
Sometimes it sounds like she's saying mama sometimes when she's meowing. Because my husband always refers to me with the pets, oh, go to mama, go to mama. And sometimes it sounds exactly like she's saying mama. And my husband will. And I'm like, it sounds like mama. But, you know, I'm thinking, she doesn't just say it in front of me, but she'll say it, do it upstairs. So I didn't know if she was trying to tell me something.
No, she said she's just trying to do what you guys do. You all speak out loud, so, of course, that's what she tries to do.
Well, there you go, Rose.
Well, you know, I had a question about my dog, though, too. She tends to, when she's out, she's a chow. When she's outdoors, if there is, like, a possum out there or squirrel, she'll kill it. And I try to talk to her and tell her not to do that. Could she just, you know, maybe just run it off the property because I didn't like her killing, you know, animals like that or little rabbits. But she still does it. So, I mean, if I keep talking to her and telling her I don't like that, do you think she'll stop?
One of the things that we do that's really not conducive to them being sure they understand what we want, we use the word not. We'll say, don't do this. And when we speak, we make pictures in our mind. So what happens if you're saying, don't do something, there's no picture for the not. So you'll say, don't kill something, and they'll see a picture of killing something, and then wonder if you get upset about it especially. Then they'll wonder why you're upset because they're doing basically what you've told them to do. So what I would do to be clear with her is say you would like her to leave them alone or just chase them away from the property. And that's all.
I've told her to just chase them away. But she's a child, and I think it's just inbred instinct for them to like to run after anything that runs. You know, they just like to chase anything that runs.
She tells me she doesn't actually go after those things with the intent to kill them, but when she gets them, that instinct takes over, and basically they end up dead before she even knows what's happening, and then they're no fun.
Okay. So is she aware that I don't really like her to do that? Or
she says she's aware that it upsets you, but she doesn't understand why.
Oh, how can I tell her?
Well, why does it upset you?
Well, because it's nature. To me, it's a being, a live being, and I just don't like the thought of anything being killed.
Okay, so the way we would like to tell her that, and I'll tell her, I'll say it out loud so you can repeat that again for her if she needs to be reminded. What I would tell her is that you love all of those little things out there. And you would appreciate it if she would be more kind and more loving to them. You understand that she likes to have fun and she likes to chase them. And you'd really appreciate it if she could stop catching them. Is that what I'm understanding you really want her to do, is stop catching them because then she kills them?
Right.
Okay, so you want her to stop catching them and let them run away from her.
Right.
And she says, that would be sort of fun, but she doesn't really see a total point if you chase something and don't really try to catch it. And I'm asking her, is it more fun to do the chase or is it more fun to catch and then they don't do anything after that? And she says to me, oh, well, I'm showing her being, once she catches them, then they just lay there. And she says, well, that is a point. So she thinks that it's going to be a little bit difficult for her to overcome that instinct, but she's willing to try, she said.
Oh, that's good.
So remind her that you'd like it if she wanted to chase them, if she would just chase them and then let them go and get away from her.
Mm-hmm. You know what that reminds me of? It reminds me of the game that we play, Tag You're It. And it would be almost like playing that game, but when you get to the person, you don't tag them.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's not much fun.
But she does admit that having them chasing and running is a lot better than having them laying there motionless on the ground.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you, Rose.
Okay, I'll work on it. Thank you, Joy and Dr. Pat.
You're welcome. Have a great evening.
You too. Bye-bye.
All right. So we have a few more minutes left. If you want to connect with Joy Turner tonight on the Dr. Pat Show, give us a call at 877-876-5227. 877-876-5227. I mean, is that, Joy, is that sort of common for us to not give direct instruction to our animal friends?
I think because we don't understand how they receive the information. We often don't know how to tell them in a completely clear way, because if we give them mixed messages, then they get to make the choice of whatever they want to do according to the messages that we send. For instance, if you're... And I like to use the analogy of having a dog run into the street because it's very simple for everyone to understand.
Oh, yeah.
If you say, don't run in the street, the picture in your mind shows them running into the street, but the energy that you're putting off is a bad thing about that. So then they get to make a choice. And the other thing that we see is the obvious choice is if you don't want them running in the street, obviously you want them staying on the sidewalk. It's not that obvious to them. So when you tell them something not to do, if they do anything else, they're right.
Oh, there you go. All right, Joy, let's see. I think we have time for one more call. Who do we have joining us tonight?
Oh, this is Gail.
Hi, Gail. Welcome to the show.
Hi.
How are you? Let me introduce you to Joy Turner.
Hi, Gail.
Hi, Joy.
So who would you like to speak with this evening?
Well, I'm going to try to keep from crying.
Oh.
But I bought two little teacup poodles. A boy and a girl, they're brothers and sisters. I bought them back in January, and I paid $7,000 for both of them. They weigh 2 pounds each, full grown. And I began to realize as they've started to develop, you know, that that might be a problem, you know, in a sexual way.
Okay.
And so I sold Bonnie for $1,500 to a police officer's wife, who said that she had another little female teacup that weighed Bonnie's same weight. And now I had already had Bonnie and Clyde both to the vet, and they were perfectly healthy. A week ago, they come and picked up Bonnie, and now they're refusing to bring her back to me. They're telling me she has all these health problems, and they've put her through all kinds of regimens in the vets, and they're talking about putting her to sleep to pull puppy teeth at only 9 months old and blah, 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 blah. Can you please tell me how can I get Bonnie back, and is she okay? Is she being loved?
Well, I can talk to her and find out how she's feeling. How you get her back, that's an issue that I'm not sure I can actually tell you that, but let's start by talking to her and see how she's feeling. Shall we go there?
Yes.
Okay. By the way, do you know that Clyde misses her?
Yes, I know.
Okay. He doesn't understand what happened.
I know.
And neither does she.
I know.
So she says she doesn't understand why these people don't like her. She thinks they don't like her.
Oh, no.
And I don't know that they don't. I don't know that they do dislike her. I just know that she feels because when they think about her, it's negative thoughts. So she interprets that as meaning they don't like her.
Yeah.
And she would be much happier coming back to be with you and with Clyde. I can make a couple of suggestions. So you've actually approached them to buy her back and they won't
I have begged them to bring her back.
Okay. Have they said why they wouldn't?
They said that they didn't want her to be abused by me.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well?
Because I didn't have her teeth pulled yet, although her adult teeth are just now coming in with her puppy teeth, and that's very common for 2-pound dogs.
Oh, well, my only suggestion would be if you know what vet they're using.
They refuse to send me the vet paperwork from all of their supposed... They claim they went to 2 different vets, and they won't send me the paperwork so that I can talk to the vets or anything. I think they really wanted her for breeding.
So you don't know who these vets are?
No.
Boy, this is a hard thing.
Yeah, it is.
I'm thinking that you probably need to talk to an animal law attorney and see... I mean, pretty much what happens, I believe, legally, from the little bit of legality about it that I understand, they consider animals as sentient property.
Yes.
And if you sell that sentient property, that would be very similar to selling your chair or your
mm-hmm.
couch.
Mm-hmm.
And once you sell it, you don't really have, from my, again, very small understanding, you would not really have any say to what happens or claim to them.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I have a contract.
Do
I have
you?
A contract.
Oh, perfect.
But she hasn't paid all the money for her.
Perfect.
I still have checks I'm holding.
Then go to an animal law attorney and...
There you go. That's the answer.
They can probably get her back for you.
That's the answer, Gail.
Where would I go about finding an animal?
Google them. Get on the internet and Google them.
And if you don't have one, I don't have it right off the top of my head, but I know one of the world's most famous animal law attorneys lives not too far from me.
Okay.
And if you email me at joy@talkwithyouranimals, I will find out his name and email you back, and maybe he can refer you.
All right, Gail, there you
all
go.
Right, yes.
You've got a lot of information. The ball's
thank
in
you.
Your court.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Wow.
Bye.
Thank you so much. Oh, boy, I had to get the tissues for that one myself, Joy. I mean, that's pretty incredible, isn't it?
People can be so very, people call it interesting. I'm not sure what I'd call it, but...
Yeah, well, I know. That's a word that we're using for, you know, whatever we don't really want to say.
And I certainly feel sorry for Gail.
Oh, yeah. Well, Joy, I want to tell you, I want to thank you for joining the show today, and I want to give your information out again to everybody out there, please.
Okay. My website can be gotten to by going to talkwithyouranimals.com or joyturner.com. You can call me at 425-867-1779. I do mostly private sessions. That's the majority of what I do. So you can call and have a private session if you'd like to.
Absolutely. And, you know, for those of you, go to Joy's website, because what you're going to be able to find there is information about her radio shows, her special events, how you can join her, some of the classes she gives and so forth and so on. And, you know, she certainly, Joy, you have certainly changed the lives of so many people, and the work that you do is phenomenal. Tonight was just a taste of the power of what your gift is about and how you help connect people. I want to thank you so much for joining us today here on BBSRadio.com.
You are so very welcome, and thank you so much for asking me to come.
Absolutely. And I want to thank all of you for tuning in and calling in and joining us here on the show. And I want to thank our friends at BBSRadio.com for pushing all the right buttons and making this happen. Remember, until next week, you have the power within you to create the lives that you absolutely desire. We have a saying here on the Dr. Pat Show, make it happen. The ball's in your court. Remember to live life full out. Until next week, know that you are loved. Know that you're blessed. If you want to find out more about us, www.thedrpatshow.com. We'll see you next week.